I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. Last month, gunmen in Mumbai, India, took siege of the city. Some witnesses say the terrorists specifically asked British and American citizens to raise their hands. The terrorists ultimately killed close to 200 people. That left us wondering how Black Americans traveling abroad are perceived and how those of us who travel internationally view our safety and the reception we get. For more on this, we have George Davis, president of Davis Broadband Group, an international media and entertainment consultancy, and Cheryl Grills, the chair of psychology at Loyola Marymount University. Now, welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
George, you were in Mumbai at one of the hotels targeted.
Actually, the Taj, yeah.
At the Taj.
I've been there like four or five times the last 2 years.
When were you there most recently to the
attacks? Probably early 2007.
Now, you know what the city is like then. You know what this hotel is like. How did you feel when you first heard the news about what was going on?
I was really upset about it. It's a great hotel. It has great history. They have a little loop that they play in the hotel with all the history of the hotel, the people that have come through there. You know, I mean, honestly, if you were a poor person from India, you don't see those people in the lobby. So you see the elite of India coming in there. What's so ironic about it is right across the street they have the Bay of India, a big tourist location, and you see I go jogging in the morning around there. Maybe three blocks away, there is a huge slum really close. So very few places in the world would you see such a high-end historical hotel and right nearby slum. And the other thing that I thought was sad is that there is a big Navy base, a military base, that's probably two blocks away. So the fact that these guys were able to come in through the ocean just kind of showed how dysfunctional the security situation is in India. It's just the bureaucracy of dealing business there. It can be quite frustrating.
You're one of a very elite group of people. That is, people who have been fortunate enough to be able to see many parts of the world. And as part of that group of people, as someone who, some people don't even leave the hotel when they're, you know, traveling on business. Some people are too afraid or just find it, you know, too jarring to go from, you know, what can be a kind of bubble to the streets. So when you left and you saw the slum, how did it make you feel as a traveler? But also, how do you think people perceived you as a Black man who clearly was not from the area, who was of more means? Do you ever try to put yourself in other people's head and say, I wonder what they see when they see me?
Yeah, I mean, first answer is, first time I went to India was like in 1997, and I have not complained about anything in my life since that trip, because I've not seen poverty, and I haven't been to Africa, but I've been to other third world countries. So that left a really strong impression on me. I found, in general, countries, and I hope I say this the right way, that people had darker skin. There was almost kind of an affinity towards me that they thought it was kind of cool, because most of the people they saw these fine hotels or being driven around did not look like them. It's not to say I look like an Indian per se, but there kind of was a curiosity that, wow, there's a dark-skinned person. So I found that in Indonesia and the Philippines, in Brazil, in Venezuela, and places like that, that people were kind of like they were curious. Having said that, the rest of the world looks at us as Americans. And there's a clear distinction. So I have a saying that if you have an American passport, an American Express card, you're just like anyone else. And often when we travel in business, we being African Americans, we're often with white colleagues. And so we're viewed as Americans, and we're treated as Americans. I'm not sure how that would have affected if a terrorist had asked me the question, but they clearly get American movies, TV shows, and so forth. So they have a view of Black Americans a certain way.
Cheryl, listening to this conversation we've had so far, from your perspective, you're taking people from Loyola Marymount to the Ghana Study Abroad program, and these are students. What do they find interesting about how they're perceived?
They go through, I would say, several layers of shock, but they come away with a closer, deeper connection to their African cultural heritage. They when they first go, they're not sure exactly what to expect and how they're going to be received, and all the stereotypes about what Africa is like and what Africa is about, they've received heavy doses of through American education. And then they also hear the stereotypes that Africans won't like them, won't talk to them, won't be interested in them, etc. They get there and then they find that people have an image of them that is cast in the light of American media and rap music and the presumption of wealth. So they have to kind of weed their way through all of that and before they can actually have real encounters, human to human, heart to heart, soul to soul connections. And then when they get to that, there's a recognition of a cultural connection to folks. There's also a layer of shock with the skin color issue. So lighter-skinned African-Americans are seen as white by folks, particularly when you leave out of the urban centers. Mm-hmm. And that is a true shocking experience for the students because, also for many reasons I won't go into now. But
I hate to interrupt you, but mm-hmm. I want to invite both of you back on to talk more about this. I'm a huge fan of travel as a mind and life expander, but we have to wrap this up for today. But I think we are just getting started. So, Cheryl and George, I hope we can talk again soon.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you.
We were speaking to Cheryl Grills, chair of the psychology department at Loyola Marymount University, and George Davis, president of Davis Broadband Group, an international media and entertainment consultancy group. He joined us from the studios of NPR West in Culver City.